Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It's a very familiar story to us, isn't it? It's one that we have probably heard of and about since we were children. If you've been brought up in the church, you're fully aware of this story. Very possible the preacher or the teacher has never stopped at verse number 5 in reading the story, because we think that the key verse is verse 6. That's the grandeur part of this story. That's the wonderful aspect about this story, that here was a fisherman that had fished all night and found nothing in his nets, and now he goes out and his nets are full to breaking. I want us to back up, though. I want us to picture these fishermen. They were wearied. I suppose that they were extremely tired at this point of the day because of their unproductive night, their unproductive toil. Don't you find it that way, that when you have a bad day or things don't go real good for you, that it makes you more tired in body because perhaps you're more tired in spirit? Can you follow that? You can feel it that way. Now, when everything's going good and you come back the winner, I should have congratulated some of these for the winner being the winner yesterday. You know, when you come back from a long day of something like that, and there's something different about the feeling at the end of a successful day rather than after a not so successful day. And so I think that that's the way it is with these fishermen. They had toiled all night. They came in from their toil wearied because of how unproductive it was. Picture them coming in their fishing boat, and their fishing boat was empty. Perhaps even on the Sea of Galilee, they had faced a storm or two in the night hours, and they had to fight through the storm of that night somewhere along the line. And they came in with disappointed faces and glassy-eyed stares. Now they were sitting down, standing, kneeling, whatever the case may have been, taking care of their nets, mending them perhaps from some breaks. I don't know what they were broken from if they didn't catch any fish, but they were taking care of their nets, drying them and situating them, getting ready, preparing themselves so that when it came time to go back out later in the evening or later in the night, that they were ready to go. They didn't have to do any more preparation. But as they are here on the shore or near the bank somewhere, taking care of these nets, somebody comes walking along, God, the Son, comes walking along, and it appears that when Jesus comes and steps foot into that boat, that he is oblivious to the feelings that Peter is facing. It would appear from that vantage point, at that point in time, that the only thing that Jesus is considering is the necessity to have a pulpit in which to preach from. Peter over here is ready to go home and go to bed. He's had a long, sad, empty night, and he's looking forward to the day of the night ahead where he's going to have to go back out there on that sea and fish again. And here somebody comes along and says, a rabbi comes along and says, can you push me out a little bit so that I can preach from your boat? The crowd is pressing. The only thing that he seems to be aware of is that he needs a pulpit. It would appear that he is indifferent or he is blind to the small, simple affairs of Peter's life. I don't know how long he preached. I don't know how long it was from the time that he got into that boat until the next part of the story begins to unfold, where he tells Peter to take his boat and launch out into the deep and cast down the net. But I'm going to suggest this morning that it was a long enough time that Peter could have already been home and in bed sleeping. Maybe not. The reason why it may not be that case is because his partners in fishing, James and John, were just down a little ways further, and they apparently were still there. So perhaps it wasn't that long. Or maybe they were just sticking around to see what was going on as well. I don't know. But then as Jesus comes to the conclusion of his message, he turns to Peter and he speaks specifically to Peter about the very thing that was the most important thing on Peter's mind at that point was his fishing. And he pinpoints that right there. Where it may have appeared that he was indifferent or blind to the small affair of Peter, he comes back to that very point. I believe that at this point, without going to verse 6, Jesus is teaching us three things. I believe that it's here that we can find at least three things that would instruct us or encourage us or help us in the midst of the toil of our lives. Because how many times do we have testimony when we ourselves get to the end of the day, exhausted because of the circumstances or whatever, and perhaps it has crossed our mind, God isn't even aware of my little detail. We feel empty. Have you felt that? Now, first of all, we need to understand that that's probably the enemy fighting against us in our emotion. We need to understand that. And he will make it appear as though God's not watching me. God's not paying attention to my issue that I'm facing, my discouragement that I'm dealing with, my sorrow that I'm carrying, my pain that I'm feeling, whatever it may be. He's not paying attention. I feel empty right now. The first thing that I want us to notice here real quickly is that Jesus is teaching us is that the lack of success or the lack of the blessing, the feeling of blessing is not reason to give up. The lack of success or the lack of feeling that blessing is not sufficient reason to give up. If anyone else would have come along that day and told Simon, the fisherman, the great fisherman, to do what Jesus was telling him to do, I kind of wonder if Peter would have listened, Simon would have listened. Some people think that that Jesus had already called Peter, James, and John to be disciples, but they were still back doing a little bit of fishing in the meantime. I don't know. I try to find out through the other Gospels to see where it all falls in, and it's hard to really determine. And you might think that Peter had some kind of an acquaintance with Jesus because he does call him master and he does obey him. But on the other hand, it could very well be that he just recognized him as a teacher, a religious teacher, and so he thought that he was some renegade rabbi that was outside of the temple teaching, and so he just automatically, customarily called him master. And maybe from the message that he preached that day, there was something that spoke to Peter's heart, and he recognized that this wasn't just an ordinary rabbi in the temple, but this was a man with some kind of authority, and so he obeyed him. But for you and for me, we know who Jesus is. We've recognized the power of Christ. But at that particular point, when we are facing this kind of discouragement, we must understand that the lack of success or the lack of feeling is not reason for giving up. The ordinary thing, the same thing, was for Peter to dry his nets and go home. But Jesus was saying, launch out into the deep and cast out your nets. I think we can take that lesson close to our heart. We may be feeling days, we may be feeling weeks or months, and perhaps some people have dealt with years of having that kind of a feeling, that struggle or that hurt or that emptiness or that longing or that hungering or that lack of success. And the devil would come in those dark hours or in those wearisome hours and say, God's not paying attention to your need. God's giving you a blind eye to your circumstances. But if we don't learn anything else from this passage of Scripture, let's learn this very point, that it does not mean the lack of success does not mean that we should give up, that we should throw in the towel, that we should turn our back. Let's look at the second lesson that I think that Jesus wants us to learn in this passage, in this story. Not only that the lack of success is not reason for giving up, but then secondly, that the divine command is always a promise. Boy, can we take that to the bank? The divine command is always a promise. You've heard the cliche. We've made it into a cliche. It's a good cliche. Let's keep saying it. God will never call you where his... Let's see, that's not exactly the way it goes, is it? I should have wrote it down instead of trying to remember. God will never call you where his grace cannot keep you. God will never lead you where his grace cannot keep you. You've heard it. The divine command is always a promise. Now, I believe that Peter was reluctant. It does tell us that. Master, I can almost hear him with frustration say it. Maybe I can hear him with frustration saying that because that's the way I would feel. Maybe you have a different makeup than me. You wouldn't feel that way. But I can feel him and I can hear him saying it with frustration. Master, we've toiled all night. I'm tired. I'm weary. I just want to go home and get some rest because I know that tonight I'm going to have to go do it again. That has to be what keeps Vicky and Shannon going back to school every day. The grace of God. And the love for kids, I'm sure. And whoever else works in schools. You know, from my perspective, one day a week is enough to make me frustrated. And it may be that way with whatever job is going on because we all have our fits and our misfits. I'm a misfit teaching Vicky's class. I'm a misfit doing Shannon's job. I could even go so far to say that I'm a misfit doing Doug's job. Some of you are misfits trying to do my job. That's why you weren't called. That's why I wasn't called to do your job. We all have our misfits, and we get frustrated in the midst of those misfit places. But whenever God calls us to do something, we may still feel that sense of misfit, but it's not something for us to turn back on, because God's commands are always promises. Always promises. He was reluctant to go do this. He somehow, though, knew that he should listen, and by listening, it was the right thing to do. Boy, if we can get a hold of that. All of God's commands are promises. Peter, launch out into the deep, but Master... Peter, launch out of the... He doesn't repeat it multiple times. At least it's not recorded that way in Scripture. Do I need to say that again? He doesn't repeat it multiple times. Even in Peter's reluctance, Peter obeys. That's a powerful lesson for us if we can learn that. I've said it before, maybe you remember hearing me say it, but perhaps you don't. That every church needs a Jonah or two, or more. Or maybe you've heard me say it this way, that I wish all the church was like Jonah. You say, what are you talking about? Jonah ran. But God only had to speak to Jonah twice. How many times does God speak to us before we obey? Here we find Matthew, according to the record here, that Jesus is only commanding him, giving him the command once. And we find, even in his obvious reluctance, he obeys. Now, we don't know that every command is a promise until we get to that next verse that I didn't read. But neither did Peter. But he obeyed. Let's take that lesson close to heart. The divine command is always a promise. And thirdly this morning, obedience is necessary even when it seems useless. If I can imagine Peter here again, I think that Peter probably felt a little bit embarrassed. There was a lot of people standing around. And now Peter's the focus. Peter was just a shy fisherman. Wasn't he? Oh, he became a bold person. He was a mouthy. But he was just a fisherman. He wasn't somebody that took to big crowds and standing in front of big crowds. I don't believe that. I don't really think that was a part of Peter's life up to that point. But now he was the focus. Peter, get in the boat, launch out of the deep, cast out your net. Peter was uncomfortable with that. And it perhaps made him embarrassed because he knew how silly it was. Maybe we could even go so far to say that Peter knew how absurd it was. It probably embarrassed him even more because he realized what he must look like to the people that were standing around, that he was going to go out and cast these nets again at the time that it was apparently absurd to even think about doing that. They fished all night for a reason. They fished at night for a reason. They didn't fish at this hour of the day. Otherwise, they would have been doing that. It was absurd. It was unreasonable. It was irrational. Whatever word you want to put in there is a negative. That's what it was. Whatever the circumstances are when God asks you to do something or calls you to do something or places his finger on something in your life, speaks to you, sheds light on something in your life, no matter what the negativity is that you would throw back up at him, it's still the reasonable thing to do. Is to obey. We know as we go on to verse 6 that Peter overcame all of that negativity and he received his reward. But there might be somebody still here this morning, somebody still listening this morning that would say, why should I? God isn't hearing me. God isn't seeing me. God isn't paying attention to me. Yes, that could be the feeling. Maybe Peter felt that. But God was not blind or indifferent to Peter's need. He brought it right back around and to teach him and to teach us a lesson. That even when I don't feel like it, even when I feel empty, even when I feel like a failure, that's not reason to quit. That the divine command is a promise, and that obedience is necessary even when it appears useless. Now let's look at it. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. A powerful victory came when they were least expecting it. Why? Because they didn't give up. They followed the divine command to receive the promise. Obedience was necessary even when it appeared to be absurd. Let's stand together.